This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop.
This latest terror attack drawing a heated response from President Trump and authorities overseas and here in the U.S. on high alert. ABC's chief foreign correspondent Terry Moran begins our coverage from London.
8 minutes. Londoners today reckoning with what happened in those 8 chaotic minutes of terror that shattered a summer night.
Some guy come round the corner, I went, run, 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 they got blazed knives, they're going to stab you, the terrorists, run.
It began at 10:08 p.m. A white van heading south on London Bridge suddenly swerves off the road up on the sidewalk and accelerates, running down pedestrians, leaving them broken and bloodied on the pavement.
It's indescribable, the state they were in. You never think you're going to see something like that.
The BBC's Holly Jones just happened to be on that bridge.
This is when I saw the driver of the vehicle, and definitely intentional. You know, he didn't look scared, he just looked focused, and I'd almost like to say the word demented.
That van coming to a stop at the south end of London Bridge.
We heard a crash almost.
A loud noise.
A lot of loud noises.
3 men get out, armed with long knives, head towards the bustling Borough Market, and begin slashing and stabbing people indiscriminately.
They said that this is for Allah, and they just, all 3 of them ran up, just like that, everywhere, stabbing all over.
Elizabeth O'Neill's son Daniel was there and survived an attack.
And a man ran up to him and said, this is for my family, this is for Islam, and stuck a knife straight in him. He's got a 7-inch scar going from his belly round to his back.
In the streets, panic.
I just saw suddenly loads of people run away from the market, and there was people lying on the ground.
Police swarming the scene, ordering terrified patrons and restaurants to take cover. Police quickly cornered the suspects, then a hail of gunfire.
Oh my God!
All told, 50 shots fired by 8 officers, and all 3 attackers dead on the ground, each wearing what looked like suicide vests, but were fakes meant to spread terror. It was 10:16 p.m. 8 minutes. The injured on the ground, first responders applying pressure to stem the bleeding from the knife wounds. Of the 48 people admitted to hospitals, 21 are in critical condition.
Would you please leave the area for your own safety?
Terrified crowds hustled to safety, told by police to keep their hands on their heads. This, the 3rd attack in the UK in 3 months. Prime Minister Theresa May addressing her people, vowing tougher anti-terror measures.
We cannot and must not pretend that things can continue as they are. Things need to change.
That killer van towed away late today while the survivors count their blessings.
Just so, so lucky, you know. It was 1 meter away. And I'm just so grateful, so thankful. I'll never take my life for granted.
And Terry Moran joins us live from the scene of one of the attacks at Borough Market. Terry, so many stories emerging about regular people taking on the terrorists and fighting back. And tonight, a police officer in the hospital also being called a hero.
That's right, Tom. Tonight, we are learning about several people who, amid the chaos, step forward to take on the attackers using everything from chairs to pints of beer. That transport police officer confronting all 3 attackers, armed only with his baton, seizing the initiative, saving lives. Tonight, he's in the hospital, seriously injured, but recovering. Tom?
Incredible he survived.
For the 3rd time in as many months, this is what's happened in London. This is absolutely horrific. 8 incredible, horrific moments. And, you know, and I couldn't help, even when I had heard the report earlier in the weekend, you know, how would we react? Imagine that happening here. And do we think that somehow we're immune? And yet, you know, politics has gotten in the way of this situation, and we have to deal with this head on. And no doubt, this is what Theresa May, this is what Englanders are going to be faced with, and the decisions, some hard decisions that they're going to have to make. Tom Rogan's coming up. We're going to talk to Tom, who is a contributor for Opportunity Lives, a panelist on the McLaughlin Group.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
It's a program committed to you, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about the truth, no matter where it leads. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. How you doing? Bill Martinez here. Tom Rogan joins us now, a contributor for Opportunity Lives, a panelist on the McLaughlin Group, senior fellow at the Steamboat Institute, holds a BA in War Studies from King's College London, and a master's in Middle East politics from the School of Oriental and African Studies. Tom, thank you for making some time available. I know you're on your way to another appointment. You're busy as all get out, especially with all this activity that has been going on across the pond here. The third time in as many months, this is absolutely horrific, again, what has happened to England.
Yes, good to be with you, Bill. Look, I think the first point to take away is what Prime Minister Theresa May said yesterday, which is that enough is enough. And that's a direct quote. And I think what you're going to see from that is a much more robust and, frankly, overdue robustness in terms of British counterterrorism policy, both at home and abroad. But one of the things I think we would probably expect to see will be an escalation in terms of the British force deployments in Syria and Iraq to fight ISIS, but also new legislative efforts in the UK to try and crack down on terrorists. Because, as you note, the scale of repeated attacks here is now such that no democratic government can stand for it.
Well, is the Muslim community, I got to think that they're really on notice here. I mean, although you have a Muslim mayor that he was very sympathetic when he was on the television, and you could tell. I mean, he was heartened by this. But I mean, this is going to put a lot of pressure on the local community, because you've got citizens now of England saying, look at, not only Theresa May, but they're supporting her. And it almost rings of a populist message a la Donald Trump.
To some degree, that's true. I think, there's not going to be a sort of ban type response. But at the same time, I think there is an increasing unity between the vast majority of Britons, including the vast majority of Muslims. It has been interesting to see that in the aftermath of these attacks, you're no longer seeing the condemnations with what I describe as the quote, but your foreign policy.
Right.
And from some British Muslim groups, you're seeing just condemnations. And that is a very welcome change. And so I think, there is an ideas battle coming now, where it's going to be an increasingly fraught small fringe who feel that they can equivocate in that regard. And that's a positive thing. But you're right. There is a populist narrative to this now that is marked by, in a basic term, the blood of, young people and old people and Britons in general over a period of 3 months.
Tom, some of the knee-jerk reaction, I mean, they're talking – about, you know, considering no burqas, anybody that's caught, you know, that they would lose their citizenship, even, you know, that there would be some really stricter enforcement, even to the point of, you know, maybe even suspicion. I mean, if you were somehow associated, I mean, of course, this is the extreme knee-jerk reaction that we have here. But what I see, and maybe you see the same thing, that how England goes, this may be a portent for the rest of the world.
I mean, to some degree, I think that's true, that the idea here is what the British government is trying to maximize everything it can do to try and mitigate the, you know, the threat of attacks. You know, I suspect we probably won't see, for example, a burqa ban like we've seen in some areas of Europe. Mm. But at the same time, you know, the suspicion element in terms of convictions, yes, I think that's likely. And again, the legal standard for the police, at least in terms of the investigative process in the United Kingdom, is reasonable suspicion, not probable cause. Here we have reasonable suspicion and probable cause, but probable cause, of course, is needed for warrants.
Right.
In the UK, it's reasonable suspicion. And the Home Secretary, a lot of Americans might know this, the politician, the Home Secretary, their equivalent of, you know, the Home Secretary does other things, but the equivalent of our Secretary of Homeland Security can herself or himself sign warrants by the British equivalent of the FBI to approve spying on someone, you know, intercepting their communications, physically spying on them. So a politician can do that. It doesn't require a judge. So I think you're going to see a lot more approvals there for some quite intrusive investigations. And you know, quite frankly, I think that's probably a necessary and positive thing.
Exactly. Well, Tom, as you write in this morning's Times, you're saying, or Examiner, I'm sorry, Examiner, you're saying, since March, five terrorists have killed 34 innocents, wounded many more in three attacks on UK soil. Five attacks have also been prevented in the same period. I mean, this, as you say, speaks to something.
It does, and I think it speaks to this idea you have a really serious threat situation, and that, as Theresa May said, one of the issues here is that every time you have a successful attack, copycat attacks follow. So it builds on itself, and that is why I think we see this urgency from the British government to try and deal with it.
Well, wow. This is just so devastating. I mean, you hear, you know, with the sound playback, the people, the horror, eight horrific minutes that they experienced here and the kind of attack that occurred. And I understand, Tom, that, you know, the law enforcement had these guys in the crosshairs as they did the other terrorists, right?
They did, but again, it's a question of balancing the resources they have with the many threats they have. And so, you know, it's not enough, I think, for us to simply condemn them. I think the British Domestic Intelligence Service is one of the very best in the world, if not the best in actually what it does in terms of monitoring people. But again, it speaks to the scale of the problem, right? That if these people were not worthy of 24-hour surveillance, tells you something about the kind of people who are out there who are, right?
Exactly. And Tom, this is becoming everybody's problem. I mean, as other analysts and experts, terrorism experts say, you know, if you see something, you have to say something. And I would think the alert level, I mean, it's one thing to have an alert level for law enforcement, but certainly the citizens of England, the alert level has got to be super high right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, and I think you do, you know, see a situation in which people in the United Kingdom are increasingly fearful that, you know, that they can't go out. My mother lives in London, and she was telling me that yesterday in central London that very few people were out and about. And that is, you know, it's an issue. It's a real issue because it suggests that there is a fraying of public trust.
Well, without a doubt. And, of course, you know, this is what pulls us together, you know, in an era when you have a populist movement. Tom, I know that you sense that here in America, you know, we're feeling this, you know, with England as well and our allies there. And, of course, I was pleased to hear that Ariana Grande went ahead and did a concert in Manchester yesterday, too, right?
Yeah, that, and that was a great step on her behalf.
Without a
very
doubt.
Very important to show that you're not scared.
Well, Tom, we're out of time. Thank you for being with us. Tom Rogan.
Books have been written regarding the law of attraction. But what if all these books are missing the most important information we can use when it comes to activating this law in our lives? The new book, It's Time to Align, the most powerful self-help book ever written by Alan Lautinger, takes a look at how the law of attraction really works and how it is being suppressed in our lives. Learn how to overcome this manipulation and how to experience alignment with the creative power of the universe. Get the new book, It's Time to Align, available at Amazon.com.
Hi, my name is Lee. For 10 years, I've suffered from ulcerated colitis. I've taken prednisone, ibuprofen, and many other prescription drugs and never saw any improvement. I tried salmon oils and flaxseed oils, but only burped them up, and they did not seem to help. Then I learned from an acquaintance who healed her rheumatoid arthritis by using Andreas seed oils. I was so inspired to try them, I began taking Andreas flaxseed, 5-seed blend, black cumin, and coriander seed oils. In 5 months, the swelling in my hands was so reduced, I was able to see my knuckles for the first time in 5 years. I've been off all medications for 13 months, and by using only Andreas seed oils, my colitis is controlled, and the arthritis pain in my knees is also reduced, and my inflammation is zero, and so many other benefits.
A patent-pending process has been developed which results in seed oils that have virtually zero oxidation and are structurally intact. Now, the full healing power of seed oils is available to you via the Andreas seed oils. Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back. back with you, America. Good to have you along with us. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Drop us an email, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Get involved in the conversation. Since March, as we were saying earlier, five terrorists have killed 34 innocents, wounded many more in three attacks on UK soil. Five attacks have also been prevented in the same period of time. With us right now is Ryan Morrow. Ryan is a Shulman Fellow at the Clarion Project and National Security Analyst, a nonprofit organization that educates the public about the threat of Islamic extremism, provides a platform for voices of moderation and tolerance within the Muslim community. Ryan, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, all hell breaking loose, I mean, to say the least. We were just talking with Tom Rogan. He was saying that his mom, who lives there in London, it's just not the same. I mean, after, you know, repeated attacks, you've got the prime minister saying enough already, and you're going to probably see a reaction from the government there that is almost going to be Trump-like. What do you think?
I don't think so, actually, because there have been better, more powerful speeches and reactions from British leaders in the past, going back years and years, to where I thought that moment had been reached, and it hadn't been. Now, what's different this time is that there's been three attacks, with significant death tolls. So the British public is at a different point now, and they're going to demand action. But I'm not seeing this big rallying call from the British leadership. What you'll probably see, because they don't have the American Constitution over there, they have their own thing, are greater curbs on speech. Those that are instigating these types of attacks, those that create the Islamist foundation for the hatred that drives these attacks. Something that probably wouldn't fly here, at least not yet, but over in Europe has already been done.
Well, we've got so much speech outside of, mosques anyway that have been thrown out here in this country. You're probably right. Probably people will say, well, why should we do it here? We're here in plenty. But this is, what some people would say needs to be considered is, and I think this is a scary thought when you talk about, the impact that it would have on our privacy if, they start looking at these mosques and inside these mosques and really get a better handle on the hate speech that's being thrown out there, not only in England, but also here in America.
Right. So any measures are going to have to be very, very finely tuned. And British culture is more politically correct and I'll just use the word insane at times than ours. Mm-hmm. So to give you a contrast, two anti-Islam activists, Robert Spencer and Pamela Geller, got banned from going to the UK as haters because the UK will not allow you in if you promote hate speech. They don't call for, like, shutting down all the mosques across the country or anything. They just criticize Islam and people get mad. They got banned. But then you have hate speech preachers still coming into the UK. You still have this unchecked immigration coming in. Things are messed up there in terms of the contrast. And in the U.S., I think you'll probably see an increase in conversation, though, about laws related to subversion, conspiracy. At what point does your speech constitute action that actually is illegal because you're advocating for an enemy that you're at war with, as opposed to offensive hate speech?
Exactly. Well, and the thing here in America, they've declared war on us, but we're yet to actually, and officially declare war on them, are we not?
That's true. There's no congressional declaration of war. It's hard to envision what that would look like. But Congress has all sorts of creative ways of crafting language to get what they want. So I'm sure they can come up with something. But the analogy I would use is that in World War II, Hitler declared war on the United States in German. Now, in Islamic vernacular, war is jihad. And so when organizations and groups declare jihad on the U.S. or they justify jihad against the U.S., that's declaring or justifying war. But the attitude of the U.S. government and these groups of apologists in the U.S. is that, oh, well, they're not at war with us. Yeah, they're justifying jihad, but it doesn't mean we're at war. And that would be like us saying, because Hitler didn't use the word war in English, he didn't declare war.
Right. Yeah, it's rather ridiculous the way we parse the word, especially when things are this dangerous. And what we're finding out about this recent group of terrorists is that they were, like the others, on the radar of law enforcement there.
Yeah, that became very apparent. Aside from the fact that that's always what happens whenever there's an attack, you find out that the guy was in one of the databases that they have. So the UK has 3,000 extremists that they consider to be high risk that they're actively investigating and monitoring. Not 24/7 monitoring, only a handful of people get that,
right?
But are high risk. And then they have another 20,000 of the residual threat pool, they call it. And those are people that have been monitored or investigated in the past, and then they close the file, but they're still in the database of concern. So you're looking at 23,000 people that they have to try to keep tabs on and figure out who's the greatest risk, who do we devote resources towards. And so you have situations like the Manchester bomber who was in that second tier, but because he wasn't in that first tier, he was traveling back and forth to Libya. And for whatever reason, the travel didn't hit a tripwire where people said, you know what, maybe it's worth elevating him to the first risk pool.
Exactly. Well, and this thing is metastasizing, you know, in such a way, Ryan. I mean, what concerns me, and the Clarion Project is reporting on, that the London terrorists tried to radicalize children. And it's also happening here in the United States, right? I mean, this is amazing.
Oh, yeah, and that's a very common thing. Well, because if you're brainwashing your own children, then your children try to brainwash other children, or you go to their house, you start talking about religion, and the parents that are radical just can't resist. In fact, they consider it to be a religious obligation to radicalize those children. And the way we know that is that some of the parents of those kids reported that to the police. But it was apparent after the latest attack that those guys were in some type of database with a significant amount of detail on them, because after those three attackers were killed, the next day you had, I think the number climbed to 15 people being arrested and raised across London. That doesn't just happen. That means they had the identities, they pulled up the guys, they had enough information to say, who are their closest associates, let's go get them.
You know, in a way, you know, kind of reminds me a little bit, Ryan, and not to be too cynical here, that it reminds me of that commercial right now where it says, well, you know, I'm a monitor. I don't actually, you know, I can just tell you what's happening. I don't actually do anything about it. And it almost seems a little bit that commercial comes to life here with, you know, some of the actions of law enforcement. I hope that's not the case here in the United States where we just have, you know, monitoring law enforcement. They can only tell you when a robbery or some terror attack has taken place and, you know, you're in the middle of it and they go, yeah, that's a terror attack. What are you going to do about it, you know? Well, we'll go round them up afterwards. So, you know, again, we'll remind.
That's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty crazy, isn't it?
It is until you have conversations with law enforcement that present to you the challenges that they face.
Yes.
First of all, on a career level, do you want that on your record if your agency gets sued because you're going after someone on something that, when you don't have specific evidence that they're actually preparing to carry out an attack? They're only talking about how they sympathize with it. So your agency gets sued or you arrest them and then the guy gets a not guilty verdict, he becomes a hero. All of that is reflected upon you personally. And then also the question of resources, when there's not enough resources, and there never will be, is it smarter to dedicate it towards those that you think are getting the equipment for a bomb versus those that are saying, hey, I'd like to carry out a bombing someday in the future? And so you have to pick and choose your battles. The problem is that there's so many battles.
Exactly. Well, I really feel there's no question with law enforcement. This is all about, you know, again, we go back to the basics, as you know, of, you know, the military jargon of rules of engagement, due process, all this, and you're being super sensitive to privacy rights and, you know, not to mention, you know, the cultural sensitivity of, you know, Muslims at large. But I think that Trump said the very appropriate thing there in Riyadh when he said, look, you got to call them out. You got to drive them out, these radical terrorists, right?
Right. That was the right message. But it was, I think it was interpreted by the Sunni Muslim world as a message against ISIS, Al-Qaeda and Iran and not them. Just based on the staging and certain words that were used. But hopefully we come up with a policy that holds the Sunni world accountable, and not just Iran, and not just Al-Qaeda and ISIS, because the problem is so much broader than that.
Exactly. Well, Ryan Morrow, thank you, Ryan, for being with us. Appreciate it. Shulman Fellow, National Security Analyst with the Clarion Project.
Upturn in the economy. Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding.
Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-8785. 800-430-8785. 800-430-8785. 800-430-8785.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live. Now I'm
back with you, America. 18 before the top of the hour. I'm Bill Martinez. By the way, thank you very much for all those entries for the Ultimate Shack Pack. Yeah, you've been emailing me dutifully, and I say that is outstanding. Just keep those cards and letters coming in. This is your chance for the Ultimate Shack Pack that we're giving away, courtesy of Lionsgate. It includes the Shack Blu-ray DVD, Shack Grow Sticks that are so cool. All you gotta do is plant them, water, and watch your flowers grow just like that. Plus music inspired by the Shack digital CD. And all you gotta do is send me an email, bill@billmartinezlive.com. You know how this drill goes. We've done this many, many times. Tell me, hey, you want to be in the running? We pull your name. We draw one out every day. We've got some more to give away this week, and I'm happy to make sure that one gets in your hands. So you'll be able to enjoy the Ultimate Shack Pack, courtesy of Lionsgate. No purchase necessary. And remember, the Shack is now available on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital HD. For more info about the Shack, go to shack.movie. Shack.movie. Well, I'll tell you, I've been really looking forward to our next guest and a conversation that Dr. Paul Kangor are going to have about his new book. And Dr. Paul is with us, a professor of political science, executive director of the Center for Vision and Values at Grove City College. And we're talking about his new book, a pope, and a president, John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, and the extraordinary, untold story of the 20th century. Paul, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Great, Bill. Always good to be with you. Thanks.
Hey, this is one of those projects. You can sense, in just even in the opening chapter, that this was a real, I don't know, do I want to say a work of love for you? I mean, you really enjoyed this.
Yeah, it was. But it was also at times really hard. You know, there was, I started filing FOIA requests, Freedom of Information Act requests, back in the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So I've really been on this bill for almost 20 years. I mean, pretty much two decades. And there were times, especially in the beginning of the book, where, I mean, to tell the story of what Ronald Reagan and John Paul II saw as the great evil of the 20th century, you know, atheistic Soviet communism. They both agreed it was an evil empire. And I had to set the table for that. And I had to explain the vicious war on religion that these guys engaged in. And that was my problem. I thought, well, I could do 1,000 pages just on that.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, I had hundreds of pages on that. And a really good editor helped me cut it down to about 100. But, I mean, if you're telling the story of communist evil and Soviet evil, where do you start and where do you end? And so that was sort of the hardest task of all in trying to write this.
Well, especially in a spiritual component. And it's got to be interesting because when you're addressing the spiritual component here of Russia, you see that not a lot has changed, has it?
No. That's exactly right. And you know, I guess it's better. It's better now. I mean, Putin professes to be a believer, mm-hmm. the Russian Orthodox Church. I mean, you know, he still obviously persecutes people, and you know, journalists have died and so forth. But he certainly knows Stalin. You know, he didn't speak about religion in the way that Lenin did. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a Lenin quote in front of me right here: "All worship of a divinity is a necrophilia."
Oh, wow.
Any religious idea, any idea of any god at all, any flirtation even with a god is the most inexpressible, shameful infection. There can be nothing more abominable than religion. Absolutely unbelievable stuff. And, you know, it's funny, you'll appreciate this, but a lot of the interviews I've done for this book with younger people who are in talk radio, you know, they're focusing on the blockbuster thing that I break, which is how the Soviets were involved in the ordering of the assassination of John Paul II.
Exactly.
And these younger talk show hosts will say, but why would they do that? I just don't see why the Soviets, how could they do something so vicious? And I said, well, that's what I'm trying to explain in this book, is these guys, I mean, they killed every priest, you know, Roman Catholic, Russian Orthodox, every rabbi, every imam, every Buddhist monk. I mean, if they could get their hands around the necks of these people, they did it.
Yes.
I mean, if Stalin could have hung Pope Pius XII from the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel with a noose around his neck, believe me, they would have done it.
Yeah.
So when they got a chance to put a bullet in the man who they truly saw as the number one threat to the Soviet Communist Empire, this first and only Slavic Polish Pope, Cardinal Wojtyla.
Mm-hmm.
They took their shot. They wanted him dead. And that didn't surprise Ronald Reagan. It didn't surprise Bill Casey at the CIA, Bill Clark in the Reagan administration. You know, they all thought to themselves, would the Soviets, you know, order the shooting of a pope? But damn right they would.
Yeah.
Of course they would.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, only a matter of trying to pin it down. And I go through in the book how they finally pinned it down. Bill Casey and guys in a super sensitive secret CIA report that to this day hasn't been released, you know, they believe that the Soviet GRU military intelligence, with the go ahead of the KGB, ordered the assassination of Pope John Paul II.
Wow, that's amazing. And you know, of course, here we are still trying to investigate the Russians for something else, not the murder of the Pope. But you imagine if they'd have been successful, Paul. In murdering.
I mean, this would have changed everything. And in fact, if I could walk this back even a little more, you know, modern audiences, and again, younger talk show hosts that I talk to, people in their 20s and 30s, you know, they will say to me, you know, I knew that John Paul II was shot, and I knew that Reagan was shot, but I didn't know they were shot so close together. Reagan was shot March 30th, 1981. John Paul II, May 13th, 1981, just 6 weeks apart. Both of these guys, there were initial reports where they weren't even hit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In fact, they were bleeding to death, and both should have died.
Mm-hmm.
So if those two had died, either one of them, but certainly both of them, in a matter of just 6 weeks apart, March through May 1981, history, I mean, things would just be different today.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, there's no way communism would have ended in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way the Soviet Union would have crashed, the Berlin Wall would have. It's possible that maybe it would have happened in like 2008 or mm-hmm. 2010, something like that. But it would have not have happened the way it did, and history would have been just so completely different from what we actually lived.
Now, you talk about the relationship between Ronald Reagan and Pope John Paul II. Unwrap that for us a little bit more here.
Yeah, Reagan was blown away, moved to tears when the conclave, this College of Cardinals in Rome, picked the first non-Italian pope in 455 years, first Slavic pope ever, plucked him right out of the middle of the communist bloc, Poland. Now, the one nation in the Soviet Empire where the war on religion failed.
Mm-hmm.
Reagan, of course, was not Catholic, although his father had been, his brother was. But Reagan immediately understood the huge political, ideological, international consequences of this. And then when the Pope chose Poland as his first foreign visit, Reagan, I talked to Richard V. Allen, who was Reagan's national security advisor at the time. Reagan was an ex-governor at this point. He wasn't president yet. And he was with Reagan in his house in the living room. They were talking foreign policy. They took a break to watch the news. And they were watching footage on the evening news of the Pope's visit to Poland. And he said, tears filled Reagan's eyes. And he said, that's it. The Pope is the key. Dick, we need to reach out to him. Make them an ally, and we need to change history with this guy.
Boy, and did they. A pope and a president. John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, the extraordinary untold story of the 20th century. Stay with us, America. More from Paul Kengor on the other side of the break. Stay with us. We're looking at just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen Lennon with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez live.
Got to keep your eye on the ball, ladies and gentlemen. This is the trajectory this country needs to be on if we're going to get back on track. So I appreciate the good fight, and thank you for joining in. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, we're visiting with Dr. Paul Kangor about his brand-new book, A Pope and a President, John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, The Extraordinary Untold Story of the 20th Century. This is one of these books that somebody asks sometimes, well, how long did it take to write the book? And, for Dr. Kangor, it was like 20 years in a lifetime, right, Paul?
Yeah, it was, Bill. And I can honestly say that I wrote literally a dozen books, over a dozen books in the period of writing this one. And mm-hmm. and kind of, I mean, what really happened with this was it was kind of on again, off again, because I kept getting new information that I didn't expect to get. And mm-hmm. I mean, at one point in the process, it really convinced me I had to do this. I was sitting in Bill Clark's living room. He was Reagan's closest advisor. I became Clark's biographer, and this was July 2006. I actually give the exact date in the book. It was kind of an epiphany, and we were talking about one of our thousands of conversations. And I said, Bill, I don't think I ever asked you about what you and Reagan thought about the shooting of the Pope. And he said, oh. Well, Paul, and then he started to talk, and I became so engrossed that I didn't even hit the record button on my handheld recorder. Mm-hmm. And I realized then and there that I really had something here. And then there were two or three other occasions like that where other people told me about the secret CIA investigation. And then I realized, all right, I've got an obligation to tell the story. If I don't tell it, I don't think anybody else is. Mm-hmm. And people who told me these things are now dead. You know, Bill died. Bill Clark died in 2013, and so I felt as hard as it was not knowing where to start and where to finish. I had to tell the story.
Well, you got caught up in what Ronald Reagan described or stated was the DP, the divine plan. And
right.
So here you are. I mean, they lived it out, and you needed to document the divine plan between this president and this pope. We touched on this before, but I want you to really unravel this a little bit more for us, and that has to do with the inside story on that 1982 meeting where the president and the Pope confided their conviction that God had spared their lives for the purpose of defeating communism.
Yeah, it's ironic that we're talking about that. It was almost 35 years ago to this exact day. It was June 7th, 1982. And, you know, we just had Trump and Francis who met at the Vatican for the first time, which went pretty well, better than a lot of people thought. But you know, Reagan and John Paul II met for the first time at the Vatican 35 years ago, almost to this exact date. And, you know, for them, they went into this, they were, you know, as Frank Shakespeare, the ambassador to the Vatican, told me, he said, these guys were kindred spirits. They were kindred souls.
Yeah.
They agreed on so many things, politically, their worldview, economics, their views of government, their views of unborn human life, the sanctity of the individual. They had all of this in common. They had this kind of one mind and one mission and how to respond to what they both saw as the international scourge facing the world in the century, Soviet communism. And then you add to this, they had this amazing personal experience. Ronald Reagan called it the shared dubious distinction, as he put it to the Pope, of both of them having been shot and almost bleeding to death the year before. And,
right.
And Reagan, Bill Clark told me this. He said, Reagan said to the Pope, look how the evil forces stood in our way and how Providence intervened. So they said to one another that they believed that God had intervened to spare their lives, to bring them together for a special joint purpose, which they believed, according to this DP, this divine plan, was to defeat atheistic Soviet communism. And Reagan is non-Pole, says to this Polish Pope, and you can imagine how this Polish Pope is touched by this. Reagan said, hope remains. It remains in Poland. You and I in Poland, right, by sustaining and saving the Solidarity Movement, that could be the wedge to the Soviet Empire. That could be the dagger to the heart of the Soviet Empire. Hope remains. We can keep it alive.
Wow.
So at that point, they committed themselves, the administration, and the Vatican to this joint effort to take down Soviet communism.
Well, you know, speaking of the chemistry between these two men, even Nancy Reagan said that Ronald Reagan and the Pope were BFFs. I mean, they're best friends.
Yeah, it's amazing. And Reagan himself used that phrase. That was one of those kind of epiphany moments. In fact, that might have been the first, because even before Bill Clark told me what he told me about Reagan and Clark thinking they're thinking on the Pope's assassination, that was 2006. I had a book called God and Ronald Reagan. It came out in 2004, and I met a Polish-American, Chris Zawadkowski, who said to me, he said, you got to know about this meeting that myself and these members of the Polish Solidarity Movement had with Ronald Reagan in the spring of 1989 in his office in Century City. Reagan had just left the presidency. We were about to hold free and fair elections in Poland, which had been promised at Yalta in 1945, so right 44 years later.
Hey, there's no need to rush, huh?
Right. They're finally getting around to it. And he said, we asked Reagan for some campaign advice, and he told us, yes, listen to your conscience, because that's where the Holy Spirit speaks to you. What was that?
Yes.
And then he turned and he pointed to a picture on the wall of John Paul II, and he said, he's my best friend. And these Catholic Poles, their jaws, you know, hit the floor. And he said, yes, you know, I'm Protestant. He's obviously Catholic, but he's my best friend. Oh. And I think, Bill, what he meant by that, it wasn't like, you know, they were best friends. They would call each other up and talk about the ball game or going fishing or golfing or, you know, the Holy Father would ask Reagan about the kids. I think what he meant by that was that in this battle of a century, and what both of these guys saw, the battle against evil of their lifetimes, Reagan saw no better friend than John Paul II in that joint endeavor.
Well, they were both on a mission from God. I mean, they both had revelation on this, and it was inspiring to them to such a degree. Look what they were able to accomplish. And again, as you say, right off the bat, no sooner do they get the revelation that they're there to target communism than they're both attacked.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, with Reagan, you know, he was shot on March 30th, and, you know, that wasn't part of any international conspiracy. That was just simply John Hinckley trying to get the attention of Jodie Foster, of all things. I mean, you know, as Reagan put it, with incredible charity, you know, laying there bleeding to death before they started operating on him, he said this confused young man, as he described Hinckley. But in the case of John Paul II, his shooter, this Muslim Turk, Mohammed Ali Asha, he was part of an international conspiracy. You know, he wasn't trying to get the attention of some teen crush that he had from Hollywood. He was working for the Bulgarians.
Right.
And the Bulgarians under order from Moscow. So, you know, so for him, you know, this was an altogether different thing. And he pretty much, I mean, I document when he finally decided, when he thought the Soviets were behind this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a moment that he had recovering in Gemelli Clinic in Rome, July 18th, 1981, when he read a document, The Third Secret of Fatima. That's a whole other issue. Probably don't have time to go into it.
Right.
But even before that, when he was shot, Bill, May 13th, 1981, rushed to the hospital. He's about to undergo 5.5 hours of surgery, six pints of blood transfused into him. And before he passed out on the operating table, John Paul II said to the nurse, he said, "How could they do it? How could they do it?" Which is an amazing thing to say when there was only one shooter,
yes,
you know, 20 feet from him. But he apparently had a hunch, right? You know, Reagan didn't think to himself, "They." He thought to himself right away, this confused young man, right? A single actor. But John Paul II immediately sensed that there was a "they" behind the trigger.
Well, I want to touch on the secrets of Fatima, and we've got a couple of minutes here, Paul, so we're not going to be able to get too deep on it. But President Reagan was very interested in the secrets of Fatima as well.
That's right. And, you know, this is, you know, most Catholics will know about this, but a lot of non-Catholics will, too. You know, anybody who grew up during the Cold War, was part of the anti-communist movement, knew about Fatima, as did Ronald Reagan. And, you know, this was, you know, the alleged appearances by Mary, the mother of Jesus, in 1917. It's one of the very, very few Mary appearances that's been officially approved by the Catholic Church. I mean, there have been thousands of these claims. There have been about a dozen that the Church has said, okay, something supernatural seems to have happened here.
Right.
But you know, she allegedly predicted the rise of Bolshevik Russia, the persecution of the church and the religious generally by the communists, and the so-called third secret, which everybody wondered about for years, and which John Paul II read for the first time in Gemelli Clinic, July 18th, 1981.
I remember being in Catholic school, Paul, and we were told about this, that it was going to be read, and it was coming up, and so with anticipation, of course, it was many years ahead when I was in there, but we definitely all heard about the secret letter.
Yeah, yeah, and it predicted the attack on a pope. That's what it predicted. So he saw in that his destiny, John Paul II did.
Well, Paul, congratulations on the book. The book is available at all the usual places, of course, right?
That's right. Or go to Amazon and get it there.
Yeah, and it'll be linked on our website, too, at BillMartinezLive.com. Dr. Paul Kengor, I'm Bill Martinez Live, professor of political science and executive director, writer of A Pope and a President, John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, and the extraordinary untold story of the 20th century. Thank you, Paul.
BuySellMakeOffer.com is better than ever. I'm Pat Matthews, here to tell you that BuySellMakeOffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just upped the ante. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and click the Sign Me Up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what your store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from or selling to. Sell unused household items, as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, real estate. The possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees, no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up, too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at BuySellMakeOffer.com.